We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt and welcome back to Proof to Product. Today on the show, I have Kate All, the owner and CEO of Simple Pin Media, a Pinterest management and marketing company. She and her team help business owners find and convert their customers on Pinterest. She also hosts the weekly Simple Pin podcast, where she teaches people how to market their business on Pinterest. Her company has worked with over 600 Pinterest accounts and has consulted thousands of people on how to best utilize Pinterest. On today's show, we're talking about the trends Kate is seeing in 2021 for Pinterest, how to rethink our Pinterest strategy so that we're inspiring and informing pinners. We also talk about what to look for in your analytics to know that your pins are working, and how to know it may be time to outsource Pinterest strategy and management. Cutting in with some breaking news before we jump into today's episode, Erin Harding, Kate's colleague at Simple Pin Media, will be leading a training inside of our Proof to Product Labs community all about Pinterest advertising. So this is going to be a really nice supplement to today's episode. The paid advertising space is shifting so much right now, especially on Facebook and Instagram. And given the visual nature of our product-based world and the search engine powers of Pinterest, I feel strongly that this is an area that our community needs to be investigating further. So Erin's going to walk us through the benefits of Pinterest ads, how Pinterest user behavior is different than other platforms, and she'll show us how to set up an ad campaign in the Pinterest dashboard. She's going to walk us through a little demo. And of course, we will have time allotted for questions too. So join this program by enrolling in labs at prooftoproduct.com/labs. And if you have any questions about labs, feel free to shoot me a DM on Instagram. All right, let's get back to today's interview with Kate All of Simple Pin Media. Hi, Kate. Thanks so much for joining me on Proof to Product.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I feel like I'm talking to the queen of Pinterest right now. Every time I see a post pop up in a Facebook group about Pinterest and outsourcing Pinterest, your name and Simple Pin Media always pops up. So first off, congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you. That's really great to hear too.
Yeah. So you've worked with thousands of brands, helping them harness the power of Pinterest. What is a common mistake that you see, maybe even on the e-commerce side for e-commerce businesses? What mistakes do you see them making when it comes to Pinterest?
I would say number one is they just pin everything and anything they have. It's like they're throwing it onto the wall and going, I really hope it sticks, but it's not really strategic with the pinner in mind because Pinterest is search and discovery. It's not this real time like we see with Instagram. You see a lot of people, especially e-commerce, taking what they know about Instagram and this real-time connection and trying to apply it to Pinterest, and it just doesn't work.
Right. It's a different platform with a different motive. I mean, we hear all these people talking about, you know, Pinterest is a search engine. It's not a social media platform. So instead of throwing spaghetti to the wall, what do you recommend that they do if they're just starting out and want to start building traction with Pinterest?
Yeah, I would say number one, their whole Pinterest profile needs to be branded solely towards what they sell and what they offer. That means if I'm to come on your Pinterest page, I know exactly what you're about. There's not a whole lot of this like fringy topic. Like if you sell engagement rings, don't pin about wedding gowns or pin about like wedding photography because you don't do anything with that. You strictly create these amazing engagement rings and I want to see different cuts or different looks or any of that. So that would be number one, is really get your profile super branded towards your products. And then number two, you want to think about where you're connecting with the pinner on their journey. So pinners usually go through these three phases of being inspired, then wanting information, and then the decision-making. So we have a custom handmade tile client that we work with, and she's very much said, I don't need Pinterest to be my decision-maker because people take a long time to buy tile. They want to be inspired. They want to see that we're a brand that is out there competing against like the Home Depots or the Lowe's or whatever. So I need people to save my pins to their board because they see it as a quality product and then revisit it later. So there's very much this inspire, inform culture where your product has to get in front of them and they go, oh, I didn't even know that was possible, or I didn't even know that existed. I'm going to save this for later. And then in 3 to 6 months down the road, revisit the board, and then I'm going to go back and buy it.
Okay, so you said inspire, and the last one was purchasing or making the decision. What was the middle one again?
Inform.
Inform. Okay, so this is a really unique way of looking at it, because so often in our online marketing world, we're pushing content out, we're telling people to buy. Our call to action is just shop with us, so to speak. But what you're talking about is reframing and really diving deeper into the mindset of our customers and thinking, where are they in this process? Are they just figuring things out, discovering us? Are they ready to buy? I love that example of the tile company too. We talk about, I just did a podcast episode earlier about the customer journey once they like join an email list, but this extends way even before that of how they're getting to know our brand and like our brand. Another thing you said that really intrigued me is maybe this is just the old school of teaching of Pinterest that has been ingrained in me, but if you're selling engagement rings, you want to talk about things within the engagement ring itself, not these external complimentary. Talk about that a little bit more, because I feel like so many people have taught for years that talk about the wedding dress and talk about the venues and all these other things.
Right. It has been a really great tool that we've used up until now, but Pinterest very much looks at the board name and the board description and the pin description and that ecosystem to say, okay, let's take Susie, a regular pinner, and she pins something from that engagement ring board. Pinterest goes, oh, Susie's really interested in engagement rings. We're going to show her more in her home feed, because we want her home feed to be so perfectly designed for her, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if Susie pins from the wedding board, she's going to get a bunch of wedding dresses and none of your content is on there. So this opportunity for re-engagement with the algorithm has just shifted to where that's that search and discovery piece. If somebody, we kind of thought before, well, if we have a wedding board and somebody follows us, then maybe they'll see the other stuff. But Pinterest has very expressly said, we need this data from the board name, board description, pin description to know where to put ads, where to put this in their feeds, where to serve it up to them. So that's why we don't go too much into these lifestyle places where you're not creating a wedding dress, you're creating the ring. So you want to solely focus on what that is, really get good about lifestyle pictures or up close shots or even video, to where people can see what your product looks like. And then that shows up more in their feeds.
That is very cool. Thank you for that example. Is it best to drive traffic from your pins to a product listing in a shop? Or is it better to send somebody to like a newsletter sign up form? I guess there's a part of making sure our pins are pretty, and we can talk about that too. But like, where do you push people to? What's the best approach for driving traffic?
So number one, when it comes to products, is that let's say we're looking for like a bathroom sconce or something. People want the up close and then they want the further out lifestyle to kind of picture, right? But both result in getting me to the page to buy the product. So it's really what you think your pathway is to getting people easily in the door. So we tell people, if you're doing a pin image that maybe has a collection of bathroom sconces, it has like gold, white, black, whatever, lead them to a category page, because then I can see all my options. But if I'm really only interested in gold and I save the gold, I only want the gold. So you're preventing all these hurdles, right? That might get in their way. So always sending them to those product places, but then you can do like the email opt-in. For example, our custom handmade tile, she knows one of the biggest hurdles is people picking out samples. So she has to get people into this mindset of, I'm going to teach you a little bit about how to pick out tile samples and what colors to choose. And she has a step-by-step. So thinking about the questions that you're getting as a product seller, what are the questions that people have about choosing a bathroom sconce or things like that? So it's kind of this multifaceted strategy of product up close, product and lifestyle, and then inform about the product. You know, 7 ways to wear a cropped tee when you only sell cropped tees is really great, because that's a different type of person who's looking. They might not even be interested in buying a crop tee. They're just interested in learning, but then they discover, oh, I can buy the crop tee here. You want to send them to multiple different places, but you don't want to do the whole like sale piece. You never want to send them to like a sale page or say you have a 10% off sale, because that's not evergreen. Your sale's going to go away and you don't want to pin out there with like 10% off all crop tees. That's something we tell people to avoid.
Okay, so let's talk about that. For the content creation side of what to pin, you make a really great point. With all content, we really do want it to be evergreen so that when it lives out on the internet, it'll keep bringing people back to us and it still be relevant, right? What advice do you have for product makers in that realm? Like, I guess this kind of stems to what other mistakes are you seeing, but also what can we do better?
You know, I would think one of the things we find with our clients who are product sellers or even people in our community is that when you mention a blog, it's like, they're like, they just get this like yep. dread and they're like, I don't want to do it. Well, a lot of us have this reference of blogging, like SEO and titling and Googling, all this kind of stuff. Throw that out. If you're really just working on Pinterest, just write a simple explanatory post that warms people up. It doesn't have to be 3,000 words. It can be like 700. But really what you're doing is you're explaining the why. And Pinterest users are cold. They don't care about brands. They don't care about you. They care about themselves. How are you going to serve me in my search and my desire? And I want you to give me what I want. It's, you know, the joke is it's the introvert's platform.
Yeah.
Don't get in my space. Just tell me what I need. And right. So with your blog post, and this is actually, again, back to the tile, we were meeting with her a couple of weeks ago and she said, you know, I started blogging again. And I'm going to tell you, my traffic from Pinterest really took an uptick because people were finding these new pathways to get into my system where they could then pick out the tile or do whatever. And it's really benefited me. And it's simple things. It's answering the questions she kept getting on her forms or she kept getting on the phone call. It's like, why keep answering that 100 times when you could just write it up into a post, create a great image for Pinterest and pin it? It's a hurdle anyway. It's an objection to buying your product. That's what I say. Start with that. Don't think you have to come up with these amazing crafty titles. Just we all can write some. And even if we can't, we can find somebody who can write it for us.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. I think there is a misconception there that a blog has to be, you know, image heavy and beautiful and, you know, this very lengthy piece. Well, to your point, looking at the problems your customers are having, the customer service inquiries you're receiving, you know, before they purchase or after they purchase, like take that, repurpose it. Take your social media content too that you post where you're educating customers about different things or talking about new products and you know, repurpose that into a blog post that you can then share on Pinterest. I like that concept.
Yeah.
You know, how much time, and I know this is like the magic question, right?
It's like blogging, time and blogging. Yes.
Exactly. I know. And I know this is going to be a it depends question, but like, how much time should we be investing in our Pinterest strategy and management, you know, week to week? What's reasonable? What should people expect to get good results?
Yeah, that is a great question. And what we tell people is that we see Pinterest as like one of those spokes in the bicycle wheel of your business. It should not be all consuming. And what makes it all consuming is sometimes we're hunting down like these best strategies or somebody said something or I'm supposed to do this. And if you get rid of all of that and get laser focused on investing time in creating great images, knowing the keywords that your customers are searching on Pinterest. And then daily pinning is not that hard, especially if you use like a scheduling tool or something like that to drip some things out. I think you could easily aim for 2 to 3 hours a week. And that 2 to 3 hours includes once a month, looking at your analytics to see what is actually working and not working. We recommend blocking out 30 minutes to an hour once a month. Just put it in your calendar to look at the data. And then to really get smart about what are the pathways that pinners are taking to buy my product? Like, what's the conversion path on my site? And you can't know that if you don't know what pins are driving traffic to your site. So I'm a big believer in less is more when it comes to Pinterest. And sometimes we hit these thresholds where we start feeling like we're missing something. And I will tell you, as marketing on Pinterest for 8 years, you're not missing anything. It's probably one of the easiest platforms to market on and the hardest, like to gamify, if you will, like people come up with these hacks. But if you put in the formula of great images, keywords, and consistency, that's what builds your strategy over the long haul. And especially if you're doing that analytics piece where you know what's happening, you can get tunnel vision on your own Pinterest strategy and it doesn't become that hard because it builds, right? And that's the beautiful part about Pinterest is you pin something and it might get picked up by people and get caught up in this legacy pin kind of environment where it brings traffic month over month, year over year. 4 years later, you're still getting traffic from this particular pin, which I want to make a note about this for sellers because I think this is really important. If you have a product you're no longer creating, it's really important for you to have a redirect or a redirection on your site to another product that's similar because pinners love to find, especially in fashion, this is a big deal because they see something that they love and they want it and they want to have a pathway to buy something that looks very close to it. So if you can have something because the pin lives there forever, you can't get rid of it. It's out there. So you want to have that pathway to recapture them instead of that hitting a wall on that product page where you might not sell that anymore.
Yeah. That's a really great point. I hadn't even considered that. We've been talking a lot about discontinuing product in my community and, you know, what that looks like, how you communicate that to the customer. But there are things on the back end in our website and things like that that we need to do. And it hadn't occurred to me about the redirection to even the product category that it falls within, just to be able to expand that.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to come back to analytics and I want to come back to outsourcing Pinterest management, but there was something else you said about overthinking. That's what it was. Overthinking it. The problems I see with Pinterest when I'm talking to my community, the things that hold them up, it's that whole, I need to continue learning. I don't know all the strategies, those hacks you talked about. And so I like that you boiled it down to, you know, just great content and great images and, you know, making sure it's linking where it needs to link. Why do you think people have a hang up with Pinterest unlike other social media platforms?
I think the biggest thing is that Pinterest doesn't give us a lot of kickbacks that make us feel good. So Instagram and Facebook, we have likes, we have comments, we have interaction. And even though we have seen many backends of businesses, people who are even high influencers on Instagram don't get a lot of traffic because it's hard for them to move out of the ecosystem, right? So we rely on those dopamine metrics that are like hearts and comments. And we're like, yeah, this is working. Well, Pinterest really is reliant. Yes, they have impressions and they have clicks and they have saves, but you're not getting a whole lot of kickback from it. You really have to play the long game with it because you're waiting for them to click to your website and make a purchase and build a potential relationship with you without all the conversation. And so the only way that they've recently introduced this is through story pins. It's a brand new feature back in July. They've been beta testing it the year before that. But it doesn't link anywhere, which is kind of frustrating, but it does fulfill the dopamine hit of like views and impressions and hearts a little bit. But again, you still don't have that conversation. So I think what happens is that people take that feeling they get from Instagram that feels like it's working, but really it's not resulting in anything. It just makes you feel good. And then they go over to Pinterest and they're like, well, I got like 5 clicks today. And it was like, okay, well, those will build. Like, remember the snowball mentality, because eventually it will happen. Like, you just have to wrap your brain around that. So I think what we see is a lot of our clients, especially sellers, will get in there and they expect a sale immediately. They're like, okay, I'm going to jump into Pinterest. You guys will go for it and manage it for us. It's going to be awesome. We're going to get all these sales. And then all of a sudden we realize that we might be getting clicks, but there's no conversions. And then you have to ask the hard question, if they're coming to my website, why aren't they buying? And that's hard for us to look at because we're so product focused, right? Like we spent all this time creating this product. Why aren't people just buying? But there's these messaging pieces. And so I just think with Pinterest, if I had to sum it up, it's not as fun as the other platforms. And so we get frustrated with it.
And it's not instant gratification like you're talking about. It's a long game. It reminds me a lot of public relations and, you know, that kind of work where it's longer lead and you may do something today that won't pay off for months, but at the same time, it's still valuable work to be doing right now.
It's like you're networking on Pinterest with lots of different people and you're just waiting to see what's going to get picked up. I like totally. That PR. That's a good example of it.
Yeah, long lead. Okay, so let's talk about analytics. Which analytics are most important to pay attention to?
Number one is Google. But I also understand that a lot of sellers, they might not have access to that. Like some people who are just on like Etsy, it's really hard sometimes for people to get a lot of good data. So wherever you can find like, okay, what are people buying? And if you can trace it back to the pin and how they work through, then you'll get a better pathway. But Google Analytics will tell us in the social referral traffic what pins are driving the most traffic and then what pages are receiving the most traffic from Pinterest. And we've always found that to be kind of our gold standard because Pinterest analytics that you get with a business account, they have gotten better. They are continuing to be refined, but there sometimes is a large discrepancy between the two. And so we tell people kind of take them both with a grain of salt and utilize them for what they offer you and then try to create your analytical picture from all of that.
Okay. So look at your Google Analytics first, but also take a look at your Pinterest analytics, and just so you can kind of see on a wider scale of what it's looking at. Are there any, and you said the customer pathway, are there any analytics within the Pinterest dashboard that are more important than others or things they should ignore?
Yeah, there's a lot in there these days. Impressions are really, you know, the top three are impressions, saves, and clicks. So impressions are really just people saw your pin. But if they were looking at their phone at the right side and your pin was on the left, they didn't really see it, but it counts as an impression. That's really important for people working with brands. They love that number. Brands like to be seen. Saves are really great because they give you the intent for later. It means that somebody wants to show up, and then obviously a click. They have other things like close-ups or monthly viewer numbers. That's something that a lot of people see on their profile. That number is really on a 30-day sliding scale of people who have seen any pins from your domain. It just changed actually this last month. So it's not something we put a lot of stock in. It makes us feel good again sometimes, but you can kind of look at it holistically.
Yeah, that's good to know, because we put together, this is unrelated but related, we put together like a press kit with some of our social stats and engagement and reach and all of that. And I'm like, I don't, you know, we put that number under our Pinterest of how many views a month. But I'm also like, is this a quality number to be sharing with people? I don't know.
It's quality for brands. I will tell, we tell a lot of our content creators who work with brands, we're like, use that number as much as you want, because Pinterest changes its mind as to what it's going to be. And if it's large and it works and a brand likes it, go for it.
Great. But ultimately, on inside the business, we want to know it's converting and bringing in sales, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And we recommend too, if you really want to get like nerdy on it, to go the UTM tracking with it. So you can attach a UTM to a Pinterest pin. So you can see, did that pin actually result in an actual sale on my site? Because it's hard to see that if you're not building those goals and conversions inside Google Analytics. And we're currently doing that a lot for our company to see, because we use Pinterest to grow our email list. It's our number one reason. And so we want to see, are those pins actually converting the way that we want? And if not, what do we change about the pathway and where is that breaking?
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. I'm listening to you. I understand the value of Pinterest. I've talked to other people on this podcast about the value of Pinterest, but I too have never fully embraced all that Pinterest is. And mostly because I didn't have the time to learn it. It changes frequently. I'm busy with other things and I don't have a team member dedicated to it. So I guess my question to you is, at what point should someone, me or my listeners, be considering outsourcing this to a company like yours or somebody else to manage their Pinterest?
Yeah, you said time. That's right there, is time and learning. So one of the things we dedicate ourselves to is learning all the time. So we have education briefs every Monday. We're really up to date on all the changes. And it's hard to do that with somebody, you and even somebody on your team. So we get a lot of people who might be working in a team and they might come into like our membership to learn. But hiring somebody that I met with yesterday who does a clothing brand, she had invested a lot into Instagram and really felt like it wasn't a good result. And so she saw Pinterest as this good entry point for her, but she's like, I can't learn it because I'm investing so much time in my product development and other things in my business. So she knew she wanted to take these dollars from Instagram or other ads that she was running and put it into organic Pinterest to get it set up. So that's what we tell people, is time and then knowledge. If those are two things you lack right now that you can't do it, then you can come to us. And what we do is we ask what your goals are based on that inspire, inform, decide. We also look at what's your budget? What do you want to sell? There's a lot of things we take into consideration, and we weed out quite a bit of people too, because some people want us to be magic and we're not magic, and we can do our best to really get people to your front door, but you have to take them from the front door in. And that's hard sometimes for people to kind of put together when they hire somebody, because they kind of go, well, you're going to solve all my problems and make me sell all my stuff, right? It's like, well, yes, that's not our job. Our job is to deliver them to the front door. You escort them in the house.
Totally. I was actually just having this conversation with a couple of clients about, we got to get our house in order before you start pushing traffic to the door, whether that's through paid advertising or, you know, other avenues that we bring people in, right? If we don't have our nurture stuff together and like our products aren't ready or things aren't, like if our house isn't in order, it's not going to work if we get more people showing up at the door.
You're not going to be able to open the front door and people are going to be tripping over stuff and they're like, I don't know why I'm here.
Boxes. Yes, exactly. You have to unpack before you can invite guests over.
That's right. That's right.
That's awesome. Okay, so you had mentioned Pinterest advertising a little bit, and I know this is a hot topic right now.
Yes.
I know that there's been a lot of changes and transitions with Facebook advertising and Instagram advertising, and things are in flux at the moment as we're recording this. But what are the advantages of doing Pinterest advertising over those other platforms?
Oh, so this is such a great question too. And I think Pinterest is changing too. They're just not talking about it all that much, right? Like they're kind the other ones kind of fight over this. So I would say the great thing about Pinterest advertising is that the pin lives there forever. So you can turn on and off a pin ad and it just stays on the platform. So if I have a pin that I pinned back in 2016 and it's converting really well, I can actually put dollars behind that same pin for 6 weeks and then turn it off and it's still there growing. Whereas an ad on Facebook or Instagram, you turn it on or off and that's it, right? The other thing you have to think about with Pinterest ads is where people are at in the buyer's journey on Pinterest and how do you want to connect with them? So you do have a greater chance to connect with them in the awareness phase. And I think for a lot of products that need to be seen dimensionally, video ads could be really cool as well.
Yeah.
But you have to remember on Pinterest that Pinterest informs the decision. It's not necessarily the place that people take action. So an example for me was this Solo stove that I saw on Pinterest. I was just enamored with their video ad because there was like no smoke and it was this really cool fire pit and their video ad just sucked me in. Well, I told a friend and she was in Costco and she's like, is this a stove you saw on Pinterest? And I was like, yes. I drove to Costco, bought the stove. And then every time somebody comes to our house to sit around the fire, they're like, where did you get this thing? I was like, well, I found it on Pinterest. So if you remember that your journey might not end in a buy button on Pinterest, it's really important as you run ads to go, I want to tell people who I am. I want to show them what I have to offer because eventually they might come to my site and buy, or they might find me secondarily through a Facebook or Instagram ad. I might see them again. And so if you have that mindset before you go into a Pinterest ad, that's going to give you the leg up tremendously because people often go there and they're like, well, I want to just take what I was doing on Facebook and put it in the ad on Pinterest. It doesn't work that way. You really have to get a little bit more in the inspiration stage to where mm-hmm. people are going to purchase and then the price point of your product too. I would say ads to get people onto your email list. If you know you can get them through like a guide or even a coupon code or something really cool, that's a really good way to build that further relationship with them through there. Cause then you can talk to them about what you have on sale. In fact, again, the tile, she did that, how to pick out tile. That was, you know, her lead. She doesn't need to sell tile on Pinterest. She just needs to get them into her ecosystem.
That's really great. Okay, something crossed my mind that kind of toggles the last two questions. Listening to you, when people are looking to outsource Pinterest, I feel like they're looking, most want strategy and implementation, right?
Yeah.
And I find that there's a lot of people that do one or the other.
Mm.
You guys do both though, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have the conversations, you help to formulate the strategy so it weaves in with the rest of it and also handle the implementation.
Yeah, we do everything. And then what we do is we keep that relationship going with constant communication to say, in one of our packages, we actually do UTMs and we do deep dive reports into analytics to say, this is what we're seeing in your analytics for you. You can take this. And now let's say you don't want to come up with blog post titles. You can ask us like, hey, what are you seeing on Pinterest that maybe I like five titles? And then we can go back and say, we want you to write about these five things because we see people searching this. So I really believe that when we do services for people, communication is number one. Everybody wants to know that somebody's taking care of their account and that you can trust them. And so through monthly reports, through weekly check-ins, through things like, hey, something's broken. Like we're usually the first to find that on a website because we're pinning or we're clicking through things. So it is important that you do strategy and implementation. And a lot of services we see, they might just do strategy and say, okay, you go do it. But really, time is what you don't have any of. Strategy can be figured out in like a couple conversations, but it's actually doing it, trying things. And I have 38 employees. So we have quite a few account specialists that are in all these accounts. And so troubleshooting is kind of like our favorite. Someone's like, hey, this is happening over here. What's going on? And someone would be like, oh, it's happening for me too. You need to do this. Done, solved. So that's what we kind of love, our little system behind the scenes.
I love that. And you talked about, you know, somebody putting together a strategy plan and then leaving you to handle it, which doesn't really work if you're short on time. But the opposite is true too. If you hire somebody that's just going to implement, but you don't even know the strategy component, or it's changing so frequently and you're not up to date on what's happening there, that's an ineffective system as well. So mm-hmm. just for everyone listening, if this is something you're thinking about outsourcing, make sure you're looking for somebody that does offer both that strategy and the implementation. They really do go hand in hand on this.
100%.
So what trends are you seeing as we head into 2021 and, you know, beyond? What kind of shifts are you seeing or things that people are looking for in Pinterest?
Yeah, Pinterest has had so many things shift over 2022. They've doubled their user base over the year too. They went from 280 to like 480 in the span of the year. It's been awesome. Their stock prices are like through the roof. So I would say on Pinterest, what we're looking for is more of those ideas that are new and different. And Pinterest wants this great new fresh content. I will say this, they are leaning into more the shop features, but they're very clunky. They have a new verified merchant program. It is, people have tried in our community to get approved. Some have, some haven't. You get very arbitrary answers of why you're denied, like your social media name is not the same across the board. So we want to encourage people, as we do see more shop abilities happening on Pinterest, and we'll see those roll out over 2021, don't get too caught up in the tech pieces of it if it doesn't work, because that's not really strategy. It's just a tactic, right? It's just a piece. Mm-hmm. So you want to be really focused back on your strategy. And if it's frustrating, we're trying to find tech people right now that can kind of help with this. But because the walls haven't so much always been tech, you have to upload your catalogs and stuff. It's mostly been Pinterest rejecting people for like really stupid reasons. So that being said, for sellers, it's going to be seeing what integrations they add with shop and how pinners respond to that, because pinners, like I said, are not the decision makers on the platform. So will these shop features really push them into being decision makers on the platform, or are they still going to just save a lot? So there's virtual try-ons you can do with makeup, both in eyeshadow and lipstick. You can take the app, point the camera at you, try on lipstick shades.
So fun.
And so I think they're going to get really good at this kind of this virtual search that's going to be coming up too as well. So paying attention to shop features, I think, is going to be big. And their story pins, we might see story pin ads coming down the pike too, which will allow you to swipe up and link kind of like Instagram. And we definitely will see video becoming more and more important over time too as well.
What do you think about people repurposing their like TikToks and Reels and stuff on Pinterest?
I know. I think it's a good idea, only if you're not the face in the front and center, because people are more interested in seeing things. They're not interested in the communal aspect, right? Like they want, their mindset opening up Pinterest is to look for ideas that serve them. They're not looking to interact with brands or people. So you have to remember that, like a knitting person that we follow, she's taken knitting tutorials and put them on TikTok. Designers, decor, if you can get a lot of those short poppy videos of her room, great idea. Just keep your face out of it. Unless obviously you're doing fashion, that's different. You can add a little bit of yourself in that too. We've seen try-on sessions start to pop up a little bit more.
Yeah,
but it can't be talking about you or anything like that. So I think it's good. I like it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. You have an incredible community. Tell everybody about it and how they can find out more information about it if they're interested in joining.
Yeah, we have the Simple Pin Collective, which is basically a combination of 4 points, our learning library, our coaching done by me, and then mentorship, community, and accountability, because we really want this to be a place where you learn a tool and then you actually implement it. It's not something where a course is so hard to teach on Pinterest because it changes all the time. So we wanted the Simple Pin Collective to be the hub where you get the latest information about Pinterest and any updates, but you also get really solid foundational tools and tips for creating great images with feedback from people who know what works, right?
That's awesome.
Yeah. So you can find that by going to simplepinmedia.com/collective. And then we have a podcast too, so people can listen for a while and lurk around and see how I teach, but it's all about Pinterest marketing tips and staying up to date.
That's awesome. And it made me laugh when you said lurking, because the amount of people that say that they lurk on my podcast listening before they join any of our programs, that's what it's here for.
That's what it's here. You just need to make sure we're not crazy, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Come listen, see if you like the style. I totally get it. So totally. That's awesome. So repeat again where people can find you online if they want to follow along and check out your services.
Yeah, simplepinmedia.com. And then we are at simplepinmedia on all social channels.
Perfect. And we will be sure to include all of those links in the show notes so people can easily find you. Kate, I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you for sharing your expertise with us today. And I can't wait to dive more into Pinterest now.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
All right, friends, I would love to know what your biggest aha moment was from today's episode. Shoot me a DM on Instagram or share a screenshot in your IG stories and tag me at @proof2product. Pinterest is such a powerful yet underutilized tool, especially among product-based businesses. Whether you're using organic or paid reach, there's a lot more that we can be doing to leverage that platform for engagement and connectivity with customers. If you want to learn more about paid advertising on Pinterest, be sure to join Proof to Product Labs. Erin Harding from Simple Pin Media will be leading an upcoming training on Pinterest advertising, and she's even going to walk us through how to set up a campaign in the Pinterest dashboard. Be sure to enroll in Labs so that you can participate in this live training. Head to proof2product.com/labs to join us. Have a great week, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning into today's show. I'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to proof2product.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.